we go.
Broadcasting from Edmonton's majestic used hubcap district.
I just can't pull off a onesie.
No, neither can I.
That's not good.
Kids today with their inline skates and their long boards that roll over everything.
Totally weird and wild. It works, but it's weird.
You know what's underrated?
Ravioli.
God, that's awful. It smells like smoke coming off someone's ass.
I guess I'm getting the vibe here that a lot of people had these lofty dreams and no one lived up to them.
I get that feeling too.
Oh, it's so good to laugh again.
My God, do people not know I'm at work?
The Garner Andrews Show with Bryce Kelly Podcast.
Whoa.
I remember the very first time I ever saw somebody eat Cheese Whiz on toast. I was so grossed out by it.
It doesn't seem like it should be a winning combination.
I was in grade 11 working at Shoppers Drug Mart.
Oh, wow. You really do remember.
I do. Working at Shoppers Drug Mart, Town and Country Shopping Center, Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan.
Beautiful.
Home of the Golden Mile. It's the band city. Capone.
Al Capone
was never there. But man, oh man, have they steered into that.
They sure have. That's all I heard about.
It's like Moose Jaw's entire identity has become Al Capone. And don't get me wrong, I love that city. I could live in Moose Jaw. I do love it there. And maybe one day I will live there.
Need a better moose statue.
Yeah.
That moose statue they have ain't no good.
I was in grade 11, working at Shoppers Drug Mart. I go into the staff room. There's a woman sitting at the table in there eating Cheese Whiz on toast. I almost barfed. And then it was years. One day, I think that's all I had. I was working in radio, typical broke young guy in radio. And I had Cheese Whiz and I had some Wonder Bread. I tried it together and I'm like, holy crap, am I late to this party?
It's pretty glorious.
It is.
People, like, I get furious when people are like, Cheese Whiz is one ingredient away from being plastic.
Yeah, delicious plastic.
Like, then maybe I should be eating more plastic.
Yeah.
Cheese Whiz is great.
It is. So last night I'm watching the hockey game, and all of a sudden I get a Facebook message from my buddy Doug, who lives in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Perhaps you've heard of it before.
They sell Cheese Whiz there?
Yeah, he sent me a link because I don't know what he was looking at, but he was on Amazon and he found a 3-kilogram pail of Cheese Whiz for $54. And he sent me the link. And when I forwarded that to you last night, because I know you're a man of few passions, mm-hmm. but one of them is Cheese Whiz.
Big fan.
I sent it. I was, honest to God, my finger was hovering over add to cart. I was so close, but I'm the only person in my house who would eat it. And 3 kilograms of Cheese Whiz is, I had to do the metric conversion. That's over 6 pounds of Cheese Whiz in a bucket.
I wonder how many jars that is. Just a standard jar from a grocery store? That's got to be like
a dozen, maybe?
A dozen, yeah.
I would guess. But that's, and only $54 for that much. You'd be swimming in Cheese Whiz savings if you bought the 3-kilogram pail.
And it would probably last you for years.
So you did the same thing. Like I sent it to you and then you clicked on the link to go look at it and you discovered you can buy the little individual Cheese Whiz packets.
Yeah. It was like your two options were the bucket or you swiped over and it was like 100 of the little Cheese Whiz like they have in restaurants.
How much were they?
Oh, I can't remember. It wasn't very much.
Did you order them?
No. Oh. I thought all the haters would come raining down on me for the plastic.
Yeah.
It seems pretty wasteful, but...
You could pretend you live in a restaurant. You could just put those on your table. They don't need to be refrigerated, do they, if they're not open?
I don't think so.
Yeah, you could be, hey, I live at a Cracker Barrel.
I've always wondered, where do you get the little packets of jam and peanut butter and the Cheese Whiz? And boom,
the Amazon. Answer, Amazon.
Amazon.
I hate promoting Amazon. Like, I really do, but... I've never been somewhere. Maybe there's like a wholesaler or something that restaurant people go to and buy their food from, but that's not a part of my world. And that's why I was mesmerized, mystified by the bucket of Cheese Whiz.
I can only imagine how long that would last. Like a jar will last me 4 years.
Oh, yeah.
So a bucket, like I could probably go the rest of my life.
Yeah, I don't. What's the shelf life on it?
Does it expire? Is it like honey? Like, I don't know if it goes bad.
Yeah, I have no idea. And when you peel that big, the lid off of the bucket of Cheese Whiz, do you hold that thing up like a dinner plate and lick the lid?
Oh, man.
To get the, because some of the Cheese Whiz always sticks to the lid.
Do you need a special stick to stir it like a can of paint?
Oh, Or could you just take it to Home Depot and ask them to put it in the shaker for a few minutes? Can you shake my Cheese Whiz, please?
God, that's a lot of Cheese Whiz.
This is the most we've ever talked about Cheese Whiz.
It really needs more support. It deserves a lot better than it gets.
You know what you do with the Cheese Whiz? And hear me out on this, Bryce Kelly. You toast the bread, you lay down the Cheese Whiz, then you slice pickles very, very thinly, and you put the pickles on there.
Ooh.
And then you put the roof on the Cheese Whiz sandwich, and you have a Cheese Whiz and pickle toasted sandwich.
I swear my mom used to make, I think she called it cowboy lunch or something. It was bread, Cheese Whiz, and cut up hot dogs, and then she broiled it in the oven for just a few minutes.
That sounds, I would eat that.
Oh.
Cowboy lunch.
I think that's what she called it. And now I want it again.
Are we cowboys?
You have questions? Garner Andrews and Bryce Kelly have answers.
The Garner Andrews Show with Bryce Kelly podcast.
I wonder if they have a toaster oven at Lube City.
I was in a Lube City just the other day, and I was, you know, I was at the bay closest to their office. And so I was trying to sneak a peek in there. I didn't see a toaster oven.
What's in there? We should get them all a toaster oven so they can have like toasted Cheese Whiz sandwiches while they're working.
Or maybe, here's just an idea, maybe they start selling air fresheners that smell like Cheese Whiz.
And the air freshener could be shaped like a sandwich. Like,
I'd put that in my car.
God, are we on to something? Should we be running Lube City?
I've been saying that for a long time.
That we should be running Lube City?
It's pretty clear.
Yeah. I think they know what they're doing. I mean, I have no business being in a Lube City other than being a customer because I wouldn't know how to change your oil. I wouldn't know how to change your wiper blades. I'm glad they're there to do it, though.
They have a machine in there to get the oil. They pour the oil into like what looks like a pitcher for drinks.
Yeah, yeah.
And it looks like a tap, like a beer keg thing that they're pouring the oil out of. It's mesmerizing.
Do you think the cars in the other bays are looking at that machine and envisioning having that fantasy that we all have as humans where we put our head under the Slurpee tap?
I can only assume the answer is yes.
Yeah. So anyway, Lube City, they've got 27 Alberta locations. You can find the one nearest you at lubecity.ca.
You're listening to the Garner Andrews Show with Bryce Kelly podcast.
They're trapped in your phone forever.
When was the last time you felt like you were in over your head?
It's been a while. My life of adventure has really slowed down lately.
Yeah.
I'm not in a lot of planes falling out of the sky.
No, I'm not either, thankfully.
You're listening to the Garner Andrews Show with Bryce Kelly podcast.
I should have asked you before I turned on the microphones. Well, I'm going to do it anyway. And if you have this story planned already for this morning, just do it again.
Okay.
The airplane story, did you see that one?
No.
Oh, okay, good. It's another case of those, this is my worst nightmare, or would I be cool as a cucumber?
Oh, I think I know which one you're talking about.
Were you going to do this story?
No.
Okay. This just happened last Sunday afternoon, somewhere in the U.S. A couple of guys just flying along when all of a sudden the pilot caught the deadsies.
Oh, no, I didn't know that one. I thought it was the one where the engine blew apart.
Oh, no, that's a different story. So this is just a small plane.
Oh, boy.
Only two people on this plane, and they're at like 10,000 feet. The pilot, thump, slumps against the control.
Just died?
And just dies. So the passage, and for you aeronautical nerds, because I know you'll ask, it was a Cirrus SR-20. I looked it up. That's a tiny plane. A brand new one will run you about 600 grand US.
Oh, that's it?
Mm-hmm. This was probably a high miler, probably a used one. So the passenger, I don't even know if I'd know how to radio the ground, though. Like, what button do you push to go, we got a problem up here? So the guy riding shotgun had to land the plane, and he did it, pulled it off successfully.
Wow, where was this?
Raleigh, North Carolina, maybe?
Okay, so it was in the United States.
Yeah.
So how much time do you give yourself to panic when the pilot on your plane dies?
Just slumps over, pow.
Like, I'm going to take 30 seconds here to lose my mind and then pull myself together, land this plane.
Maybe he's just having a refreshing power nap. Maybe he'll come to again and he'll get us on the ground. What would you do in that case? I played in a flight simulator back in the day. I feel like I don't know, I'd need some instruction, but I feel like I could get it on the ground.
Oh, I'd be a goner. I'd be gone seconds later with that.
Can you imagine?
I would take that thing to a straight nosedive. I don't get it at all.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know what to do. You see all those switches and buttons?
I know.
In a plane? Forget about it.
But it's sort of like I'm sitting in front of I don't know, tons of switches, buttons, flashing lights. And really, I use three of these buttons. I think it's the same thing on an airplane. You use three buttons. The rest aren't even connected to anything. It's all for show. That's what it is.
You're probably right.
Yeah. But anyway, could you land a plane?
No chance.
No.
No chance. You got one chance to get that right? I would do something like, I would end up slamming it into a tree or someone's house.
I'd do a couple of loop-de-loops, maybe a barrel roll. Why not? How about you? In over your head. Maybe we should discuss that this morning. Has there ever been a time where you're just sort of way in over your head, but you managed to pull it off?
You're listening to the Garner Andrews Show with Bryce Kelly podcast.
We started talking about that one time you were in way, way over your head. Like that guy who, again, it's one of those news stories that makes my hands sweat, but I will read the whole story. I'm fascinated by it. A couple of guys flying around the other day in a small plane. This is in the U.S. and the pilot died.
Went to the great airplane in the sky?
Yeah, but they're at like 10,000 feet. So the pilot, the guy sitting in the passenger seat who was not a pilot had to radio the tower and had to get talked back down onto the ground.
No pressure on the air control person.
No.
All right, now you're going to want to pull this lever.
Because you'd have to be familiar with that plane. Like,
it would be horrifying. You get something wrong, all of a sudden their engines fall off, their propellers disappear. Oops.
Because the traffic, air traffic control would be like, do you know what kind of plane you're in? I'd be like, it's red. Do you know anything about the red ones? That's where it would all just sort of fall apart. Although they probably know what kind of plane you're in. You'd probably be able to tell them the number or something.
I don't think I could do it. Because, you know, when you get an oil change and stuff, and they want to check your lights. And they're like, all right, turn on your left blinkers and your right blinkers. I panic.
Yeah, I'm just like, oh, God, left. Which is left?
Suddenly I forget everything.
Lisa texted and said, this is like a story of being in over their head. When I was 13, I was at the lake with my dad. We were fishing in his boat. When it was time to load the boat back on the trailer, he gave me the choice of driving the boat out of the water and onto the trailer on the launch ramp, or backing the truck and trailer down the ramp while he drove the boat onto the trailer. It was lose-lose.
Oh, boy.
I chose to get dropped off at the end of the dock. I ran up, got the truck, and tried to back it down the ramp. It went terribly. A guy was yelling at me, the 13-year-old girl, because it wasn't going fast enough, which only made it worse. Another man I don't know took over for me. And him and my dad managed to get the boat loaded on the trailer. It was a bad day. No, I do not think I could land a plane. Lisa.
13 years old, yeah. Backing up a truck trailer and trailer.
Down a boat, a launch ramp. That's a high stress area.
Lots of eyes on you.
And nobody is in a good mood on the launch ramp. It's so, like, you're minutes away from either being out on the lake or being back safely in your vehicle, driving home from the lake. But it's so stressful there. Everybody's yelling at each other. It's horrible. It's not the kind of spot you want to be. And to the guy yelling at the 13-year-old girl trying to back the truck and trailer down the ramp, come on.
I, at age 37, who have been driving for 21 years now,
yeah,
I would still struggle with that. I don't think I could back up a trailer.
No, and I back up trailers all the time, like travel trailers. But I don't think I could handle the boat ramp. The launch ramp, I'd be too stressed out.
Oh, I couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
So when you see someone do it flawlessly and perfectly, you have to admire it.
You should stand there and clap. Yeah. I know they would appreciate it. Somebody said, I think I could land a small plane, but I would be freaking out in a helicopter. Yes.
Ooh, a helicopter.
Helicopter. See you later, everybody.
I've been in a helicopter once, and I got in, and the pilot had like UGG boots on and sweatpants. And
no.
I was just like, hold on, you need to look like a pilot. I was nervous the whole time.
Especially in a helicopter.
Yeah, I don't know why that would make a difference, but it did. Made me nervous.
You watch a helicopter, somebody drive a helicopter, it's like a one-man band type operation, like arms, feet, everything's moving independently.
Yeah.
Oh.
The pilot was looking too casual for me.
You got to pay attention to the pitch and the yaw. I mean, you can't ignore the yaw.
The yaw is my favorite part.
The yaw is what's going to bring you back down to ground.
It's the Garner Andrews Show with Bryce Kelly Podcast.
Some of the questions, I mean, so far nobody's had to land a crippled airliner, but this one, this is from Evan. I was tasked with writing and delivering the eulogy at my uncle's funeral 3 hours before the funeral.
Ooh, little prep time.
I was in way over my head, but according to my grandma, I made it, quote, just funny enough.
Oh, that's nice.
I think that's a compliment, Evan. Just funny enough.
Have you ever had to give a eulogy?
It is. No, I've never had to do that.
It's a weird thing to do.
Oh, I wouldn't be able to keep it together.
Like, you don't know how serious to be, how funny to be. Like, it is a weird place to be. And when you have 3 hours to work on it, that's not enough time.
Yeah.
The Garner Andrews Show with Bryce Kelly Podcast.
This one, when I was 19, my best friend and I drove to Banff Sunshine to go skiing. Day one, my friend broke her ankle. I had to drive her and her car all the way back to Edmonton from Banff. It was a standard. I had never driven a standard in my life.
Ooh.
Definitely in over my head. That's from Tracy. The beauty of a standard, though, like once you get it up to highway speed, you don't have to shift or anything. You just drive. It's just that part where you have to get up to highway speed. It could give you trouble. But congratulations. You did it, Tracy. You landed that plane. Man. And by plane, I mean manual transmission.
Manual transmission is no joke. I've never had a manual transmission car.
I'm pretty good at it.
I would like to be good at it. I would like to learn it one day, but I don't. And so I would be in the same position.
I feel like if people saw me driving a standard, they'd be like, oh my God, that guy's good at driving a standard. I think people would take notice. I think they would.
It's really impressive when you're braking.
Oh yeah.
And you just move. Like, I'm always so impressed.
Yeah.
It's
a special skill. You should learn to do it.
I really should.
Oh, yes. This is the Garner Andrews Show with Bryce Kelly Podcast.
Wow. Oh, somebody else texted and said, oh, because we were talking about being in way over your head, and we had somebody text the show and say that they were in Sunshine or Banff skiing with a friend, and the friend broke their leg, and they had to drive the standard all the way back to Edmonton, and they didn't know how to drive a standard. So they were, therefore, way over their head. And I said, I can totally drive a standard. And I imagine when people see me driving a standard, they're like, ooh, that guy's good at driving a standard.
Look at that just glide down the road.
And do you remember for a while there, I had that weird little import where I had to drive on the wrong side of the car? I had to shift with my other hand.
That's right, that little green car.
Yeah. I imagine people were like, oh, look at him go. He's good. And then somebody texted and said, people do not look at you with awe if you drive a standard. They think you're nuts.
Hey, I look at you in awe.
Do you?
Whenever I've been the passenger in a car, because I can't drive standard. I'm so ashamed of that. That's my deep shame.
You and I, let's go out in the parking lot one Sunday morning, and I'll teach you to drive standard.
I don't think I want someone I know to teach me to drive standard. Like, that's how self-conscious I am. Because I don't want to grind those gears and have someone I know just, I don't want to hear the, oh, how do you not get this?
Or hear bystanders on the street corner say, grind me a pound. Shut up.
So I look at you with awe.
Okay.
If you can do it, if you can be smooth with it, both speeding up and slowing down, forget about it.
This whole conversation stems from another one of those stories where, and I'm laughing, like somebody died at 10,000 feet, the pilot of a plane. And the person riding shoddy had to radio the tower and say, you're going to need to talk me down to the ground. I don't know how to drive an airplane.
Yeah, we got a problem up here.
And they did put the plane down, which I don't know that I could do that. I don't know if I'd be able to maintain enough.
I wouldn't. If I did that, if I pulled it off, I wouldn't stop talking about it.
Oh, my God. I'd talk about that everywhere I went. I'd probably do a TED talk.
All I can think about, though, is it is a small plane and there was just a couple people on board, which means when that pilot kind of smooched death on the lips, the passenger probably had to yeet his body out of the way.
Well, they would have been said, it's a small plane. It's a Cirrus SR-20. Look that thing up. It's a sporty looking plane. I like the look of that thing. But there's not much room to move inside. You wouldn't be yeeting the dead guy into the back seat.
You're not doing the old heave-ho?
No. No, you'd have to just pull him back off of the controls, and then you'd have to take the stick, man.
Ooh, even that situation would be awkward.
This person says, I've thought about this while flying on a commercial plane as a passenger. Something happens with the pilot or pilots, and I swoop in to save the day to the point where I tell the crew to keep serving beverages.
Nice.
The reality of is, I wouldn't know how to land an RC plane, Chris. Great. I've had that fantasy too. How about you?
What a power move. Swing open that door and just say, hey, keep the drinks flowing.
You roll up your shirt sleeves, loosen your tie. Ah, that's why you should always wear a tie when you're flying. Even if you have no business wearing a tie, you want to be able to do that move where you loosen your tie and roll up your sleeves before you take on a task.
The Garner Andrews Show with Bryce Kelly Podcast.
Dave is on line four. Dave, have you ever been in way over your head?
Not myself, but my buddy did years ago in the 90s. He went and bought himself a massive speedboat. And we all went down to Penticton, a bunch of us, and he gets out on the water and he thinks he's all that and more, driving around this big speedboat, lots of power and everything, but what he didn't realize is a boat doesn't have brakes. He just about smashed into some people in another boat. He bumped up to another guy in another boat. Everybody was freaking out at him, but no, that's okay. I still can handle it.
Hey, have you ever met anybody who sank a boat?
No, I haven't. Like, he came close. Like, over the years, he's one of those guys that you don't have to tell me anything. I'm really good at it. I'm the best at it when he clearly wasn't. Never knew a guy that sank a boat, though. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, I feel like that'd be one of those things. If I was at a party and I overheard somebody say, oh, yeah, this one time I sank a boat, I would be like, what? Tell me more.
Yeah, that's right. Were you in steerage or were you driving?
Hey, so your buddy had kind of a bold, a cockiness to him?
Oh, definitely. He was A-type personality. He was just OCD on everything. Yeah, nobody was telling him what to do. He was always the best at everything.
Yeah. Okay, Dave, thank you. I appreciate the phone call. Well, yeah, didn't sink the boat.
That's disappointing.
Yeah, I was hoping that was going to take that twist, but
yeah, that would take it to the next level, because I'm a big fan of sinking boats.
Me too. Yeah, do you know anyone who's ever sunk one?
No, I don't know any boat people.
No.
Boat people are like horse people, you know, they're on their own planet.
Are you saying that boat people are, because didn't we determine on this show that
the horse people are a little off? No, they're not so much off, they're just like, it becomes their entire personality.
Yeah, they're doing their own thing over there.
Now, even when they're not on a boat, they're dressed like they're going on a boat.
Are boat people like that?
I think some of them are.
Yeah.
Some of the rich ones, anyway.
Just this guy with this speedboat. See, that's another one of those things. Like, you can go to an RV store. You can buy yourself a giant fifth-wheel trailer, and they're like, okay, see you later, and you drive that off the lot. Like, you pull that, having no experience pulling a trailer. It's same thing with a boat. You can just go buy a boat and take it to the lake.
Yeah, I wouldn't know what I was doing if you just put me behind the wheel of a boat, right? I don't know the rules.
I don't know them either, but
it would be fun to have a service where you can go out there and you can sink a boat.
Well, yeah, we've talked about both you and I have that lottery fantasy. Is you win the lottery and then you buy two absolutely kick-ass boats, like a couple of really high-end Mastercrafts or something, drive them into the middle of a lake, sink one just for fun, and then drive the other one back to shore.
I know. Like, I often go back and forth. How would I want to sink a boat?
Like, fire a shotgun through the floor?
I think that's what I would do. One shot through the floor.
An axe?
An axe. Feels like it'd be a lot of work. An axe
through the floor might be fun. But anyway, that's my lottery dream, and apparently yours too. But the bold confidence of that guy buying that kick-ass speedboat, driving it around the lake, not realizing there's no brakes. Did you see the story about that guy in, he was fired from an art gallery, an art museum in Munich?
No.
Because he hung up one of his own paintings in there?
Awesome.
I think he worked in maintenance or something, but he went, and the painting was pretty big. It's like 2 feet by 4 feet, so it wasn't like just a tiny little, he hung his own painting in there. And they noticed almost immediately, and they fired his ass. And because he just wanted, it's like any artist, you just want somebody to either hear or see your art. That's all you want. You just want somebody to see it.
Wow, I've never thought about that. Just going to the art gallery downtown, maybe, armed with your own painting and just boop.
Is it bold confidence or unhinged cockiness? You decide.
Little column A, little column B.
Yeah.
The Garner Andrews Show with Bryce Kelly Podcast.
Tales of that one time you were in way over your head. Somebody said, I remember working as a very new nursing grad in ER one night. A woman came in very pregnant and in heavy labor. I was selected to wheel her down to labor and delivery, which was a long ways away with just a sterile delivery kit on the stretcher. I was terrified the whole time as they didn't teach us how to deliver babies in nursing school. What? I thought that would be one of the first things you learned at nursing school. Bryce did. I see Bryce wrote back and said, did you make it? And they said, yeah, thank God they made it. Didn't have to deliver that baby. On another topic altogether, somebody, this is a good question. I know what my answer is. This person just says, question, how many keys on your key ring is too many? I get called an old man because of my keys. Personally, for me, more than one key is too many keys on your keychain. I don't know about you. I need to be able to keep my keys in the front pocket of my jeans without a huge, weird bulge. I run a very, very streamlined key operation. I don't even use a keychain. It's just the fob for my vehicle. That's it. So I say one key is too many keys.
Thanks for listening to the Garner Andrews Show with Bryce Kelly Podcast. Theme music by Garner Andrews. Guests of the podcast stay in the dumpster behind the building in the rail yard. Classy.